Good morning and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. We really don't rehearse this. We kind of grab the mic and go, I guess. Hey, these riots in L.A. are getting serious, Austin.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're finding pallets of concrete blocks everywhere.
You know, the whole thing, and thank you guys again for the updates on emails. Some people out in California have sent me emails, keep me updated on stuff. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter at the top on thebrowershow.com so you can get the latest updates. And you can also email us if you got updates or stuff you want to contact us about on the Contact Us form. Say hello. Name, email address, phone number, and message, and keep us updated on things that are going on in your side of the world. But now this whole thing over in L.A., it's escalated quickly. The thing about this is, you know, I kind of watched a lot of stuff over the weekend. You got to look at it on both sides and to understand the full scope of this. What was the specific timing about? Why in the world is this escalated so quickly? And why do we have federal agents that, you know,
On Saturday
afternoon,
everybody's off work,
at 1 in the afternoon, going to raid some illegals that are over by Lowe's. And then, you know, same day, some of them get locked in a building. The guys, they went in and then they locked the building behind them. I mean, it's so you got to look at this and say, why are they trying to set these things up in probably the most, golly, the most, you know, sanctuary city of the entire country? And then what it's done is now it's caused these issues where these individuals now, I mean, these guys are blatant, I mean, just blatant terroristic behavior. They're running around burning cars, waving the Mexican flag, telling them they took everything over. I mean, now all the news media's covered it.
You know, it was all fun and games with all 20 million people coming in under Biden.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we've been feeding them and clothing them. They're like feral cats. You flee, you feed them, you give them a bowl of goat's milk, and you feed them some chicken, and all of a sudden now the feral cat makes itself at home and now wants more goat's milk.
That's exactly right.
Wants more chicken. And suddenly now you got a feral cat, and all of a sudden they bring another feral cat in, and that feral cat gets pregnant like we've had here in the wall here. And suddenly you've got a whole room full of feral cats, and now we're talking 20 million in the last 4 years. The people who don't even speak English, the vast majority
right.
of them, they have no interest in speaking English, and they're upset because we're actually taking some of them and sending them home that they came across illegally. And quite frankly, I'm going to say something you guys are probably going to disagree with me on. I don't blame them for being upset.
With the situation?
Here's why. They were given the green light to come in. They were helped to come in from all over the world.
They were actually encouraged.
No, they were given huge amounts of money, billions, if not trillions of dollars coming to the United States.
In aggregate,
you know, over the last 30, 40 years. And they were told, basically, come in here. We got you back. You're going to get a free house, a free Obamacare thing, free cell phone, free everything. You don't have to worry about it. We'll get you a driver's license. You can vote.
Yeah.
We're going to make you citizens. We're going to give you the green track. And so they leave their homes, and they say, we're going to America. And they come in. And all of a sudden now we're going, oh, by the way, that was the last president. We don't want you here anymore, so you need to go. We don't care if you're like 18 to 25 and you know how to run guns. We don't care about any of that stuff. We don't care if you're a full military force. We want you out. And they're going, yeah, how about we don't want to leave right now?
The thing that bothers me is when they're running around burning stuff down and waving the Mexican flag. Right in front of Dale's Donuts. I mean, that's horrible publicity for him on the situation.
For Dale's Donuts?
I don't know. Dale, poor Dale. Maybe he has good donuts. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
But I've got a friend of mine, Gene Shoker's got great donuts.
Gene's got great donuts. I don't know if Dale's got good donuts.
I have no idea.
I know Dale's probably a little nervous right now with this going on outside. Make sure he's not getting burned down. But, you know, the issue I have with a lot of that is if they were absolutely so proud of their country, why in the world are they here? That's a million-dollar question I asked, though.
No, it's because we told them.
Right, but say that, okay, cool. We gave you this, we gave you this, we gave you this, we incentivized you.
They're down in Tijuana, a lot of them, eating out of a garbage dump.
Right.
They're digging through people's garbage, trying to find food to feed their kids. The life is from hell.
But I would be ecstatic to be in the United States.
Remember what Jim Rohn said. Jim Rohn said, you know, we don't realize what we have here in this country. People build rafts to get here.
That's true.
They want to be here because other countries, they don't have free enterprise. You know, look at Norway, look at Sweden, look at Germany. You know, Germany's like, they're like a massive recession. Bankruptcy's everywhere over there. Norway and Sweden, same thing. They're socialistic communist countries.
Yeah.
There's no freedom of speech there. It's all basically you got to just shut up and do what you're told to do by the government. And so when you get to the United States and they tell you to come here, we're going to give you everything for free, I don't blame them for being here and being mad. I really don't. Now, I wish they hadn't come. I just say that. And I wish Biden had opened those borders like he did. But remember, they came in by the millions under Trump, too, when he was the first president.
Yeah, but it was way more controlled.
Well, it was way more controlled. But now it's pretty much shut down and done. So now everybody who didn't get in are mad.
Yeah.
And so and now they don't want to go home. They don't go back to the Tijuana garbage dump.
No.
And a lot of these people, and I will say this very clearly, a lot of them really work a lot of construction jobs, and they're very much needed. And they also pick a lot of doggone vegetables and fruits.
Well, that. I mean, the housing industry is very predominantly in Florida. That I remember when I was building my house.
Housing industry is collapsing.
Some of the contractors I brought in. Yeah, some of the subs I brought in. I knew some of the guys were illegal. Some of them were from Venezuela. But they did an amazing job, and they worked unbelievably hard till dark every day and did a great job. So I was like, well, I don't care.
And some of them had horrible attitudes. I remember that time I came out.
Some of them got horrible attitudes.
No, I came out on his job site. And
the drinking beer.
They're drinking beer.
On stilts. Laying drywall.
On a ceiling.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like boozed up. Beer's fresh, ice cold, still dripping. I walked over to it, picked it up, threw it in the dumpster. Well, they showed us. They drilled a hole in his doggone
in his roof. Yeah, in the roof.
Roof started dropping. Did it right in the valley, so you have to replace both sides of the valley.
The thing about it is, because I was
one inch paddle bit.
Yeah, because I was running the permits. It was my job site. If I had the doggone inspector from Auburndale come in or from the county come in, and I got alcohol on the premises with guys that are drinking alcohol, they're going to ask me, what are you doing on your job site, dude? Why are you allowing guys to drink?
It's not even that. It's from a liability standpoint.
No, exactly. One of them falls and breaks the wrist.
You know, and so we called up the sheetrock guy. Do you remember?
Sheetrock Mafia.
Remember, we called the guy who hired them.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, listen to this. This is interesting. I used to hang sheetrock back in high school, right? I know how to hang sheetrock. I know that's probably... It's not some skill set that I use anymore, but I can still do it. But what was interesting about it is we called up the guy who basically was in charge of this. He's a white man,
yeah.
probably about 70 years old. He had a pretty decent attitude when we met him. So we called him up and told him about this. Well, he gets unbelievably mad. Then you remember what happened? You have a closet under your stairwell.
Yep.
Okay? And he said, well, we can't put any sheetrock in that closet.
Yeah.
And I said, why not? Well, we can't get the stilts in there. I said, yeah, you can. And he goes, well, how do you suggest we do that? So I told him how to do it. Remember that?
Yeah, 5-gallon bucket.
Remember? He looked at me and goes, I don't need you to tell me how to do this. And I'm like, well, then why'd you ask me, dude?
Yes.
I said, obviously you didn't have to have me tell you how to do this. You just didn't want to do it.
Right.
And so I gave him multiple solution sets on how to do it, and they did it.
They did it.
But he had an attitude. From that point on, when we put that beer in that doggone dumpster, he had an attitude with us. Remember that?
Well, the issues that I found, especially with the drywall crews in Florida, is they're all, almost all of them are illegally ran as far as illegals run them.
It's the Mexican
mafia. It is. It's actually a mafia. They joke about this.
Sheetrock mafia.
Because there's only a couple groups that basically run all the drywall crews in the entire state of Florida. And so what happens is they price fix it, which is whatever. You can't really do much about that anymore. But they don't care about service quality or anything anymore because they realize you're going to have to use them regardless.
We're the gringos. And I'll never forget this. It was crazy because, I mean, you try to get people to come in and do work for you that speak English. Well, these guys didn't speak any English at all, except for the guy who hired them. But the sad part about it is, you know, you would think that they would take pride in what they do, but they had an attitude. After that thing with the beer, they all had the attitude. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. I mean, how in the world can they come in and do a lousy job and have an attitude because we ask them not to get drunk on the job.
And here's the thing, and I've seen this many times. I used to work construction, and it's usually still frowned upon, but a lot of times it's tolerated. If guys get done with a job site, and they're done with a job site, and it's 6, 7 o'clock at night, and they're waiting for somebody to pick them up, one of the guys there's got a six-pack in the cooler. I've seen them before. Or whatever, I really don't care. But when it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday, and you're on stilts hanging drywall on a very tall ceiling, and you're over there drinking with a beer in your hand, it's like, dude, come on. Like, that's just, dude, come on. Like, let's be mildly professional.
Okay, hold my beer while I go ahead and get this liability system.
Yeah.
To go. Oh, by the way, Hegseth has threatened to send the Marines to L.A.
I saw that.
The borders are our home and threatens Governor Newsom and Mayor Bass with arrest. This is all rhetoric. As President Donald Trump has deployed 2,000 troops from the California National Guard to Los Angeles, which I didn't think he had the authority to do that, to quell protests opposing the federal government's immigration policies and campaign of deportations, which we've had hardly any deportations, by the way, Secretary Pete Hegseth has threatened to send in Marines if the city continues in violence. Meanwhile, Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, a longtime immigration and customs enforcement official, now spearheading the administration's deportation efforts, warned that it's a matter of time before someone gets seriously hurt. Well, that's
already happening.
Somebody's going to get killed. And that someone's going to get killed. Declining to rule out the possibility of ICE and federal officials killing someone in an interview with NBC News on Sunday. He also threatened Governor Newsom and Los Angeles Mayor Karen Blass with the arrest and prosecution if they cross that line of harboring undocumented immigrants or impeding law enforcement. Trump said later on Sunday its officials stand in the way of law and order, they will face criminal charges. You know what's interesting about this? Just let me just talk here for a second about the Civil War. Before the Civil War, the United States was basically a group of loosely held together states that all had individual constitutions, all had states' rights, and they could pretty much do what they wanted to do and not do. If they didn't want to be part of the United States, they could step out and walk away.
Right.
That's exactly what the Southern states did because of tariffs. Now, what's interesting, they tried to make it about slavery, but it wasn't. No. So that was a minor issue. And not that it's not a big issue. It shouldn't be. Slavery is horrible no matter what. But it was not the main
reason. It was a minor issue of the Civil War conflict. It was a major issue for the longest time. Time because it was serious, but it was not the basis of the Civil War.
No, it wasn't the basis of the world of the Civil War. Well, then after the Civil War, when Lincoln came in and forced the Southern states to come back in and put them under martial law, everything changed as far as states' rights. And so now we're basically trapped in the government that can do anything they want to do with absolutism. And that's tyranny, by the way. And that's a boot and a yoke that I don't think anybody really wants to bear in this country.
Well, here's the issue they're talking about here. It says approximately 300 National Guards out of NORTHCOM are being released. They said approximately 500 Marines from the 2nd Battalion, 7 Marines at 29 Pines, California, prepared to deploy, should be necessary to augment and support the DOD's protection of federal property and personal efforts. Got that. Here's the problem. Everybody knows this. The Marine specialty is not crowd control. It's not riot control.
It's killing and blowing things up.
They train the guys unbelievably aggressive. They lock you up, basically, and they set you loose when it's necessary. They're not there to do crowd control. And so I don't know how this would go if they did it. It says on the Posse Comitatus Act, active duty military can only be deployed in specific circumstances with the Insurrection Act of 1807. And that's to suppress serious insurrections. And the issue that this has happened now in L.A., because I've been out to L.A., they stirred up a hornet's nest, a really big hornet's nest. L.A. is huge.
They did it on purpose.
They did it on purpose, right, and that's what I'm getting at. They stoked this hornet's nest up right in the middle of all the stuff that just happened with Elon Musk releasing this tweet.
Well, remember, so it was 60,000 acres burned in L.A. if you remember that fire season.
And then now Elon Musk has deleted that tweet, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. And so all this stuff's happening. You've got all this stuff that basically Israel's coming back in now. They're doing more airstrikes on Gaza over the weekend. That's now no longer talked about. And then what's interesting, though, this is something that's happened in L.A. that nobody really even discussed. And I saw it earlier here, and it said only 68 building permits had been issued for Pacific Palisades after wildfires destroyed 6,800 structures.
Yep.
So since these wildfires,
I think it was like 50, 60 square miles.
It was huge.
It was huge.
It says 6 months ago, the wildfires roared through the greater Los Angeles area. Billions upon billions of dollars is basically just gone. The last time they reported any efforts about building permits, they've now looked, since this period of time, 68 building permits have been issued now. 68. That is it.
Well, that's because BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard haven't got their plans in place yet.
Yep, depending on what they're going to do. And at the same time, it just got released that State Farm got the approval through the state to raise the rates almost 30% on homeowners insurance and renters insurance in California in that area. 30% increase on top of already unbelievably high insurance rates that are occurring over there. So what's going on in California? A whole lot of stuff behind the scenes. I know in Florida we have some of the highest homeowners insurance in the entire country now.
Horrible.
And it's insane. And the problem is that you're required to have it if you have a mortgage. Well, then the insurance company comes in and says, we're dropping you if you don't get a new roof now because your roof's 15 years old. Well, a new roof's like $30,000. That's fine. If you don't put a new roof on, your rates are going to go from $4,000 a year to $12,000 a year. But I can't afford that kind of, I can't pay $1,000 a month to the homeowners. That's fine, we're dropping your insurance. And then what happens is the mortgage company is notified within 30 days. Mortgage company goes, oh, by the way, you don't have homeowners insurance. You're defaulting on your mortgage now. I can't afford another $1,000 a month in homeowners because my roof's 15 years old and it's in perfect shape. Not our problem. It's in the dotted line. You signed at the bottom of the small print. You have to carry homeowners insurance while you have a mortgage. And this is what they're doing now all across the state of Florida. This is one of the reasons why the housing market is really starting to have a hard time here in Florida and starting to push down on older houses.
You know, years ago, I was buying a truck.
Yeah.
Okay. I bought some trucks over my lifetime. And I remember I was financing the truck.
Yeah.
And they gave me this contract to sign. you know, this mortgage contract on the truck.
Car loan. Mm-hmm.
Car loan.
Yeah.
Might as well call it a car mortgage.
Expensive as it is now.
That's true. And so it was, you know, 8-9 pages long.
Yeah.
If you initial here. So I said, I'm not initialing nothing till I read this. So I went in there and I didn't like a lot of it. So I took a Sharpie, scratched it out.
Yeah.
Liked what I liked, checked all the other boxes, signed it, gave it back to them. They said, we won't accept this.
Right.
And I said, what do you mean you won't accept it? I signed it. No.
No revisions.
No revisions whatsoever. And I said to him, I said, why can't I make revisions? I said, why do I have to sign what you want me to sign? It's the loan. If you want the loan, you sign the papers.
Yep.
If you don't want the loan, don't sign the papers.
Your choice.
Your choice. Yep. No revisions. And I'm like, this loan document is unbelievably biased to the lender.
Oh, it is. If you read car loans, they'll say in the fine print that at any point in
any
time,
any reason,
the bank wants to call your note due, so say you got a $50,000 car finance, at any point, and they don't normally
for no reason.
They like the interest. They don't normally do this, but they can. By the way, you have to pay the entire $50,000 note within 30 days. Well, I financed the car. Well, that's fine. You're defaulting on the car now in 30 days if you don't pay it off.
Let me tell you a story. This is funny. I have a good friend of mine. I won't mention any names. Known him for 40 years. And I remember he had to file bankruptcy.
Yep.
You know who I'm talking about. And he's a good friend, had a great job, made good money. But because he had married the wrong person, she'd run the bills up. And he had to file bankruptcy. So he was driving an old sled. It was worth about $300. I mean, it's leaking carbon monoxide. You had to leave the windows open. Otherwise, you would basically suffocate and die in it, right? And so, you know, he asked me to try to help him get a truck, which, by the way, I don't do this at all anymore because I found out something here about this that you'll learn right here in a second. And so he asked me if I would co-sign for him on a car. Not knowing the guy for decades. Good friend. In fact, he was best man at my wedding with Sharon. And I said, sure, I'll be happy to do that for you because I knew he was a man of his word. His ex had basically run up the doggone bills. So what happened is we traded the car in. I co-signed the note. Listen to this, everybody. Now, what that co-signing means is in the event that this man did not pay the bill, I had to pay the bill.
Yep.
And in the event that I paid off the truck, he would own the truck, not me.
Yep.
You don't get that when you co-sign. When you co-sign, you don't get ownership of the vehicle.
No.
You have all the liabilities, so that's why you don't ever co-sign. I made a mistake with this. And so what happened is they called us up about 2 months later. He already made two payments. They already called us up about two months later, and they said, the bank has decided they're not accepting this note, even with your co-signature.
Yeah.
And I said, what?
Yeah.
And he put like $5,000 down on top of everything else.
Yeah.
And he goes, they've decided they're not going to help him rebuild his credit, and they want the car returned to the dealership.
Yeah.
And I said, no.
The deal's already done.
Deal's done. It's been 2 months now.
Yeah.
Made payments. And I said, no, we're not going to do that. And they, what do you mean, no? I said, you can't rescind a contract after 60 days.
Yeah.
It's been paid. You know, we're making payments on time. What do you mean, no? It's like, you know, two letters, N-O, no. And they said, no one's ever told us no. And I'm like, guess what? I mean, I've co-signed this loan. If he doesn't make the $250 a month payment, I'll make it for him.
Yeah.
Okay? And so what ended up happening is they said, well, that means we're going to have to receive the note ourselves at the dealership. We're going to have to sign for it now, and because Ford won't allow you to be on this with him to be on this without us now being involved in this. I knew the guy. I knew the owner. It was the owner of the dealership calling me, by the way.
Okay.
And he had heard me speak in Tampa at the seminar when there were 40,000 people in the Thunderdome, and I followed President Bush.
Oh, yeah. So
he knew who I was.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was one of those deals that he knew that I was some flake boy.
Yeah.
And so we end up, okay, we're going to go ahead and just absorb this. And we're going to just, a year later, Gene traded that truck.
Yeah.
Okay,
there we get the note.
And he got the note cleared, got my name off of it, and they gave him credit at 7.9% for a new vehicle.
There you go.
Another one, because he reestablished his credit.
Yeah.
Now you think to yourself, that's the kind of power these guys have.
Yeah.
They can rescind the note. So I've already had that happen once on something like that when I did it. So it's funny. But now let's talk about it. I mentioned this last week, and I want to kind of briefly cover it again. Let's look at who's running. I'm going to tell you right now. We're doing this. I'm pulling the curtain back, okay? And I got the guy back here pulling levers. And I'm fixing to show you who he is right now, okay? So listen to me. Understanding the Kabbalist Synagogue of Satan left-right charade. I covered this the day after the election last year. I'm going to cover part of it again. In a candid dinner conversation after World War I, Kuhn Lieb, the partner, Otto Kahn, this is a guy, one of the founding members of the Federal Reserve Bank, was asked why capitalist bankers support communism. He replied, they both have an identical purpose, the remaking of the world from above by the control of riches and from the low, from the revolution. That's what we have going on in L.A. right now, Austin. It's the revolution part of this.
Yep.
And he goes on, this article says, they are all Freemasons and they're all Kabbalists. Their final goal is the deification of the Rothschild banking cartel, basically for the synagogue of Satan. Hence, we have the communist faction on the left, the globalist, homosexual, migration, U.S. Democrats, Canada, EU, Sweden, Norway, all about, you know, being, you know, all wrapped up in, you know, in communism. And the Zionist faction on the right, the nationalist, heterosexual, U.S., GOP, Brazil, Hungary, and Israel is the fulcrum. No nationalist is ever critical of Israel. That's a fact. In fact, Greta Thunberg, by the way, showed up on a flotilla outside of Gaza to basically protest what was going on, and they basically seized her boat that she was in, and now they have her locked up watching re-education videos.
Are you kidding me right now?
No. Just thought I'd mention that. Okay? Now, that goes on to say, this is interesting. He goes, in the book Geneva Versus Peace, the Comte de Saint-Allure, that's Staulaire, who was the French ambassador to London from 1920 to 1924, recalled a dinner conversation with Otto Kahn, which took place shortly after World War I. The shocking exposé is fast disappearing down the memory hole. Asked why bankers would back communism, a system supposedly against private ownership, Kahn tugged on his enormous cigar and explained that the bankers create apparent opposites to remake the world according to their specifications. You say that Marxism is the very antithesis of capitalism, which is equally sacred to us. It is precisely for that reason that we are direct opposites to one another, that they put into our hands the two poles of this planet and allow us to be the axis. The two contraries, like communism and capitalism, find their identity in the national. I mean, he's talking about the Communist Power Party. These opposites meet again in the identity of their purpose in the end by remaking of the world from above by the control of riches and below from revolution. He says, our essential dynamism makes use of the forces of destruction and forces of creation. This is all Kabbalah, by the way, but uses the first to nourish the second. Our organization for revolution is evidenced by the destructive Bolshevism and the constructions of the League of Nations, which became the United Nations, which is also our work. So what he's telling you is they control both parties, the Republicans and Democrats. They're the ones who set up, here's the curtain, I'm pulling it back. They're the ones who set up the concrete blocks in L.A. over the weekend to allow this to happen. You know what they do? If you look at the freeway pictures, they take the concrete blocks, they throw them on the ground, break them into pieces, so they have all these handheld-sized rocks. That's why the whole freeway was littered with concrete blocks. Where did they get concrete block? It was given to them. Just like a couple years ago when they were having riots with Trump before, they gave them pallets of bricks and blocks again. They just set them up there. Oh, look, here, how convenient, blocks here. And they want to blame all this on George Soros because he is their front guy. We don't even know if he's alive or not. If he is, he's older than dirt. And the problem is that they can't get rid of him because he's too important for their narrative, also because he's the front man that they stage everything through and with and allow him to take the brunt. That's what they do. You're laughing about something.
No, I kind of thought you were exaggerating.
By Greta Thunberg?
Yes.
Oh, read it.
Okay, first off, let's just clarify this. I am not a Greta Thunberg fan. It's not somebody I follow. I didn't even know this had happened. This just happened this morning. So she had this big flotilla with about a dozen unarmed activists on it headed to Palestine,
Gaza. Who would follow that weirdo?
I have no idea. Apparently, they said they were loaded up essentially with baby formula, food, medical supplies. They said they were boarded. The unarmed crew was abducted and its life-saving cargo. Israeli officials said this was just a publicity stunt. They've taken the passengers. They have not released everybody on the boat.
Nope.
They took everybody. This is what they said. Israeli official defense minister Katz said that the military is going to force the passengers to watch videos of the Hamas atrocities of October 7th upon arrival to see exactly who the terrorist organizations they came to support and for whom they work for. They said once they finish all the videos, they will be turned back to their home country. They're going to force them to watch snuff films for the next week.
I told you, it's re-education camps.
They're doing Clockwork Orange.
They are. I know.
They're going to force them in solitary confinement and force them to watch snuff films of people being killed. What those videos entail and who's on those and who's actually doing those, I don't know. Nobody knows. They're basically going to show them snuff films for a week, and they're going to send them back to the UK where they came from.
Snuff films are films in which people end up being killed for real in the films.
This is disgusting.
Well, dude. No, that's what Ted Bundy watched.
No, I know.
Ted Bundy watched that kind of perverted stuff and ended up basically wanting to act it out of the Chi-Mega House in Tallahassee.
And here's where he goes. To see exactly who the terrorist organization is you came to support, they said we brought baby formula food and medical supply to the 2 million Palestinians who are being starved out, essentially. I got a real issue with that, forcing people to watch kill films like that against their will for a week on end. That's a real weird thing.
You got to remember, they've got to go ahead and get this place cleared out so Trump can put in his Gaza Strip Mediterranean resorts that's being run through BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, and so they can have this giant... I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu showed the plans already, Austin.
I know they did.
He showed the plans.
I wonder if we can get a Health Master site on the Gaza Strip.
Yeah,
beside the Trump Hotel and Casino.
Yeah, no, what we'll do is we're going to go ahead and have a secondary studio put in right there.
Yeah.
And we're going to fly over to Gaza, and we're going to do our show there. I wonder how quick, before we go to a re-education camp.
I was about to say, I wonder how long that lasts over there.
I bet we don't make it a week. I bet we don't make it a day. I bet you we don't even get there and get it set up.
I bet we won't even get off the plane.
I bet you when we file for the permit, they say no.
We won't even get off the plane. They'll turn that thing right around. But that's really disturbing.
Oh, I've got great news for you. U.S. basically electric car prices have fallen to the floor, and U.S. electric vehicle adoption plummets down to like 10-15%.
I was going to cover that.
Yeah.
They said that EV interest among U.S. drivers has dropped to 16%.
You know why, don't you? Too many of their friends have been stuck on the interstate, broke down.
That and too many friends have talked about how unbelievably upside down they are in these notes with Porsche, with Tesla, Ford, with Chevy, with all of them. I talked to a guy the other day. I was in Orlando. I can tell you about this. He had one of the Ford Mustang EVs.
Ugly.
I have no idea why Ford branded this with a Mustang badge.
Nope.
Ruined that name. Mustang was an iconic name, and they put it in an EV vehicle. I asked him. I pulled up, I'd gotten fuel, and I went inside, I was going to grab some water. And I said, how do you like that thing? I hate it. My girlfriend talked me into buying it. It's horrible. I said, well, what don't you like about it? He's like, well, not only is it slow, he's like, the Tesla's way faster. He goes, I'm already upside down in it. Literally said that. He goes, I'm already upside down in it. I thought I was getting a good deal. I got huge rebates on it, and I already looked at selling it back, and I'm like $5,000 upside down. He's like, I got a great deal.
If not more.
Yeah. He's like, I got a great deal on it. And he goes, the problem is, it's only good for around town driving. It has no useful purpose.
Well, that's the city of tomorrow, isn't it?
There you go. Yeah, everybody I talk to that runs these things always says the same thing. They said it's great for city driving. It's great for around town. Try to go on a road trip, or God forbid you try to tow a trailer with the F-150 Lightning. 88-mile range with a 20-foot trailer on the back.
With 3-hour recharge time.
And that's what he said. He goes, I went to a hypercharge station the other day, and it said it took him literally right at an hour to charge the car. An hour.
And that's at a hyperstation.
That's at a hyperstation. And he goes, it's miserable. Everywhere you go, you just got to sit and wait. He goes, I'm always sitting on my phone in the car.
My friend ended up plugging her car in into a 110 outlet for 2 full days, 48 hours. Picked up 50 extra miles.
Yeah.
50 miles. And then it broke down 2 weeks later, and now the bill to repair it is 10 years old. The bill is already over $5,000.
That's actually on the cheap side. She
subleased it from somebody else who said, I'm not paying nothing else for that car.
Turn it back
in.
It's
going back to the bank.
Yeah.
Which is what he doesn't understand in his little...
They get a lien on him.
Oh, they're going to put a dog. They'll garnish his wages.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You buy a... You're some kind of German dude. All right, and you make sure that you're politically correct. You got the little queer looking outfit on that to wear over there, little queer jackets, little queer gloves. I mean, I guess they call it Metro.
And so what do queer gloves look like? I'm just curious.
They're probably pink. And so here's the problem. Okay, now the guy's not queer. He's not gay. Okay. But he's basically virtue signaling by getting himself a $220,000 Taycan Porsche electric. Zero to 60 in 2 seconds. Unbelievably fast car. Nauseatingly quick.
Weissach package.
With a Weissach. He says, look at me, look at me. I'm virtue signaling. I'm saving the planet all by myself.
My $250,000 EV.
Now this guy is basically going out there, and he's basically, what do you call it this morning? When you pretend like you got something that you don't have. It's I forgot what it's called. You said it this morning.
Did I?
Yeah, I forgot what it was.
I say a lot in the morning. You talk to me right when I wake up.
I did. But the problem, so he's virtue signaling with little pink gloves on. You know, he can't get a girlfriend because he's too effeminate. And, you know, you kind of think he's gay, but he said he's not. And now all of a sudden he's driving this $220,000 car. And now all of a sudden he's got to take it across Europe.
Yeah.
He comes back. Now his hair's all disheveled. Pink gloves are all ratted out. And he goes, I need to trade this in. I got 100 miles and it broke down. Then it broke down again.
Porsches are pretty reliable, but all you do is hunt in charging stations the whole drive.
All I do is hunt charging stations.
That's it.
And so he comes back and he goes, well, I'm going to trade it into Porsche. Porsche goes, we don't want it.
You're the moron that bought it.
We're going to call around us if anybody else is going to, you know, give you any money for it. So they come back in and say, yeah, we're going to give you $80,000 for it. You've had it for 3 months. And you go, but I paid $220,000 for it. I was virtue signaling in my little pink gloves. And the guy goes, you know, you should have thought through this. And now he's stuck. He can't get rid of it unless he comes up with $140,000 in a down payment or another payment. That's like a house. And all of a sudden now he goes, maybe I should not buy these anymore.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? He's stuck with it now. And guess what? That car only has one place to go. Because once those batteries go out after about 8-9 years, that car's worth
nothing.
It's like a jet plane. You get a 20-year-old jet. The motors are spun out. I mentioned this to you before. The fuselage is worth basically nothing. You have to put new engines on it, and the value goes back to the value of the engines and the amount of remaining time on them. And, guys, let me tell you something. A Tesla is not a jet car. A jet.
No.
At least you can fill the thing up with fuel at every airport in the country pretty much and basically fly around and have fun with it. A Tesla is going to be sitting there for you. You know, and it's so funny. I have a good friend of mine. Years ago, he bought one of those things.
And he brought it down to us
to show it to us. And he was like, virtue signaling. Look at me. I got this. It took him like 7 hours to drive a five. You know, it was more than that. Like 9 hours.
God's video.
No, he's got
2.7 million subscribers. Devastating depreciation revealing the true cost of the Porsche Taycan. Why, it's the poster child for depreciated EVs.
So how much did I lose owning a Taycan Turbo?
I think it's like $70,000 or $80,000. Yeah, I watched part of the video on it.
Is that one of the German guys?
Yeah.
He looks pretty
effeminate.
Yeah. He looks pretty effeminate, buddy.
But no, it's almost become a joke. But it's also systemic among all the EVs. Now, I talked to one of my good buddies who runs his Chevy dealership the other day, and I asked him about that. About all these EV vehicles, and he's like, bro, when people come in to buy them, he's like, I try not to even take the customer. I don't even want to deal with them. He goes, because all it is weeping of gnashing of teeth in 6 months.
You remember there was that one guy who used to work at the bike shop. His name was Brady.
Yep.
Remember him? And he finally got to the point he quit. You know, remember why? He's selling these rockets to these young kids. And so many of them, they were having to go to their funerals.
Well, and the issue, I grew up on sport bikes. I mean, I had a 1000RR when I was 18 years old.
Not with my approval, by the way.
I didn't ask for my approval. I was 18. You make stupid decisions when you're 18. But the thing about it was I had multiple friends die. I mean, I had one friend close to home. I mean, he got almost cut in half by a Bronco. I remember the crash scene.
Right over there on PK Avenue.
Yeah, that was an absolute mess. Bronco turned in front of him. He was doing about 120. He was speeding. I'm not justifying it. But, you know, when you take these kids, they're 17, 18, 19 years old, and you put them on a 200-plus horsepower motorcycle that's almost a 1-to-1 pound-to-power ratio. I mean, your horsepower to your weight's almost the same ratio. You know, the bike weighs 280 pounds.
I've owned them before.
Horsepower's 220 horsepower. I mean, they're insanely fast. And the problem is the reflexes and the skill set in most cases are not there with these kids. I grew up racing motocross. I was 5 years old, so my skill set with driving two-wheel bikes.
One of my great regrets
was at the top tier for all the racing. But
the same guy who bought that Tesla's one got me into bikes for you when you were 5 years old.
Anyways, I'm alive. I've sold all my bikes now for obvious reasons in here, state of Florida. And let me say something, okay? I got to cover this. If you ride motorcycles in the state of Florida, because I almost got in an accident with a set of motorcycles 2 days ago. In my truck.
Oh, I haven't heard about
going around the lake. If you're on a motorcycle, you got a two-lane road, do not ride parallel with each other. Do not ride two bikes in one lane side by side. Unless you're on a big open road with wide lanes.
Highway.
this is unbelievably stupid. I'm coming around the lake. So it's a two-lane road. It's really narrow. There's trees on both sides. And these guys are riding in a triangle formation. So they're like this. So you got one guy in the middle of the lane, two guys behind him riding side by side. The one guy, his tires are on the yellow line. Mirrors are hanging over. Handlebars hanging over. And they're over there. And I'm not picking on Harley guys. I love a lot of the Harleys. But these two guys were idiots. They're coming around the lakes, already in the road, and I'm in my pickup truck. I felt the swish of my mirror almost clip his helmet. And I was hugging over my line, almost hitting a tree to avoid hitting him. I felt it. And I know he felt it. And I thought to myself, are you that stupid? You see an 8,000-pound pickup truck coming at you, and you're going to hold your line. And I mean, because the mirror and his helmet are almost, you know, identical size. And I thought to myself, dude, grow up. What point are you proving?
You know, I had a friend.
Don't ride parallel in lanes like that.
Let me say something to you guys. This is important. I rode bikes for years. I rode Harleys, okay, and I had Hondas, and I had BMW. I had a BMW, had Kawasaki's, I had a Ninja. I had all kinds of stuff, all right? I don't do that anymore because it's too dangerous down here. But years ago, we had a guy named Mike. He worked for us.
Yep.
And he used to ride bikes with the bike gang. And he had really long hair. He's making a point. I mean, it was like literally down to his buttocks. And I didn't know he had long hair. He came to work for me. He had a hat on. His hair was all curled up inside of his hat. Great guy, great worker, great friend. And he's worked me about a year. Always had a hat on. One day, we're in a hole, digging a sprinkler out. It's completely filled with mud and water. And I'm down there with him, shoulder deep, okay, trying to fix this line. He's in there with me. And his hat falls off. And his hair, that I did not know he had long hair, fell into the hole with the mud.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he looked at me. It's a mess. He had to get hit with a big long ponytail. He had to like rinse it off with a water hose. And he goes, "Is that going to be a problem for you?" I looked at him. I said,
"Bro, we're in the mud together right now."
Talking to me? He goes, "Yeah, you didn't know I had long hair." I'm like, "Why would I possibly care that you got long hair?"
Yeah.
As long as you show up and do your job, I could care less what your hair looks like. Why would it make some difference to me? It's your hair.
Yeah.
Now, listen to this. About a week later, he comes in. Hair's gone.
He donated. He donated locks of love. Yeah.
And I said to him, "What happened to your hair?" He goes, "Well, I wasn't making a statement anymore." Here's why I'm saying this. You're riding a Harley on a yellow line.
Yeah.
And you have a mirror come by your head about 4 inches. What kind of statement are you trying to make if your head comes off?
What was your point?
If you're driving 60 miles an hour this way, and there's somebody else driving 60 miles an hour that way, and your mirror hits you in the face,
it's going to take your head off.
Your head's coming off.
Yeah.
Okay? So now as your head's rolling down the concrete, because you're not dead yet because you still got oxygen in your brain, you got to be thinking, this is horrible. Now think about that for a second. Why do you have to make a statement about something like that? Why can't you just stay on your side of the road? You're playing death roulette with this pickup truck or a semi-truck. The thing about a semi-truck coming by there.
Oh, yeah. Right in a single file line. And if you're on a back giant open road with fat lanes, but I saw him coming because I always watch motorcycles. I'm watching it and I'm like, this guy's riding double in the lane. And I'm sitting, there's a tree on the side. I'm like, okay, I'm slowing down. I'm getting the right. I'm trying to barely miss the tree. And he's holding the line. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
No,
I almost started flashing him, but he was already there.
He has long hair. Are you listening to
Yes.
me? He's trying to make
Prove
a statement.
His point, yeah.
By God, I'll stay here. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you kill me. I'm staying here. Well, guess what? That's kind of a landmine to step onto, isn't it?
I mean, is that the hill you want to die on?
I'm going to go ahead and walk out in this field in Bosnia. I don't care if I have a landmine get me. Also, you step up here, click. And you look down and you go, if I move, this thing's going to blow. Gosh. Man, they don't blow until you step off
That's
of them.
That's right.
So now you're sitting there going, this is great. Now
oh, gosh.
Imagine that?
Miserable. Yeah.
And then you say, you call the guy up with a thing. Come get this thing.
I'm not going up there.
This is on you, man. Well, I can't even bend over and try to push something against this lever. I'm stuck here. Right? You know, good luck with that.
You know, landmines are a brutal warfare weapon. They really are.
They're
non-discriminate. That's the problem with them. It's not like a bullet you're aiming.
Now, Kulsa wrote a really good article here. He said, this is good. He says, what movie is this? And he goes, in this age of information overload, when everybody's brain has become a memory hole, we see how long anyone remembers Donald Trump's epic rant with Elon Musk. It's already forgetting.
That's exactly what I said earlier.
Oh,
they had this giant boondoggle, and now all of a sudden this whole thing's in L.A. happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had to change the media, didn't they?
They changed it real quick.
And guess what? They were talking about Epstein.
And now suddenly, Musk deletes his post after Trump's attorney says Epstein had no information to hurt the president.
Okay. The whole psychodrama looks like an episode out of the Batman movie that America has become. You can see the current plot twist from 1,000 miles away. Even back in the summer, Elon's spastic boardings on the campaign trail looked like a suspiciously drug-edged fueled. He reported to use ketamine, which induces mood changes from euphoria to anxiety to agitation, as well as slurred speech. Also altered judgment and disinhibition might provide risky behavior. Because meanwhile, the fabled fourth turning enters the full churn. Western civilization, of which we are part, continues to go sideways in the history. In case you're distracted by Mr. Musk's histrionics, we are on a path towards world war, which I don't believe that, by the way, but it could be staged. It goes on by that says, among the strange doings, note former CIA director Mike Pompeo showing up with a week ago at the Black Sea Security Forum in Odessa, Ukraine, where, say what, he called for a complete victory over Russia and advocated for Crimea to be recognized as part of Ukraine. A call for a victory implies that we're at war with Russia or seek to enter such a war. Granted, the U.S. neocon intel blob sparked a Ukraine-Russian war starting in 2014 when State Department cookie monster Victoria Nuland, I can't stand her, set off the Maidan color revolution, and Joe Biden kept stoking the conflict with cash and ammo and inflammatory rhetoric. But Mr. Trump has been working this year to put out the fire, difficult as that is, with the EU and the rest of NATO beating war drums off stage. Now, what's interesting about this, I'm going to let you guys read this the rest of the way. And it goes on to say, why were Pompeo, Lindsey Graham, and Blumenthal not arrested when they flew back to the United States for interfering with national affairs?
I was wondering about that.
Mm-hmm. The Democratic Party played the Joker the past 10 Batman years, working overtime to throw the country into chaos, which is absolutely true. Europe has a death wish. Its economy is cratering. It's sacrificing 2,000 years of culture to the new barbarian invasion. The governments of the UK, France, and Germany have all gone full Orwellian against their own citizen. And Mr. Trump knows that Godzilla is fixing to fall off a cliff. He's more inclined to wake up with the lady down in the ferns and march back to the humid, welcoming jungle. So I'm going to let you guys read this. It's very well written. He puts out some good stuff. But the sad part about it is, it's right. We've talked about it so many times. This is like a movie. My friend Jürgen Klug, before he passed away, he and I used to always joke that we're like in a movie right now. And everybody's got a script. We've got to make a decision on how we want to read the script. This morning, I was talking to some people over there in Europe. It was interesting. And I found that the people in Europe are even more liberal there than we are here, Austin.
In a lot of cases.
In a lot of cases, because they've been basically indoctrinated into cultural Marxism because it was on the same continent with them. And then they had a really good article that Harrison posted for me this week. And it's absolutely brilliant. And it talks about dating apps and what they're doing to the population in America. And I like, you guys, for some reason, like it when I talk about this, and I don't know why. I guess a lot of single people watch the show. And it says, dating apps might be messing with your mental health. Jenny O'Hare initially signed up on a dating app to bump up her confidence, fresh out of a 20-year marriage. She didn't believe that a man would ever find her attractive again, and a friend suggested she try online dating, so she created a profile on Facebook. I was looking for people to tell me you're okay, even though you just got divorced and you're still marketable. She said, adding that she did not get attention from men online, and that made me feel better. Not for a long time, but made me feel better for a little bit of time. But when some men ask her for racy photos, which, by the way, they do this crazy stuff, she retreated. You would never say something like that when you met them at the park. She says she's one of the some 95 million people, Austin, who are on dating apps.
That's a lot.
We're talking in the United States now.
Quarter of the population.
Yeah, 95 million people in the U.S. over the age of 18 have used dating websites or apps, according to the research. And she's not alone in seeing her mood shift downward the longer she was online. My experience with patients who are on dating apps is at least the fatigue, mental fatigue, societal fatigue. The people just get exhausted, she said. It licensed marriage and family therapist based in Telluride, Colorado. It takes up a lot of energy. It takes up a lot of time, and it takes up a lot of emotions, and there's a huge potential for rejection. Now, here's what I'm going to say about this. And they're right about this. Now, she's saying it causes mental illness. I don't know about all that. It could cause anxiety and cause a lot of other problems and a lot of rejection issues. The problem is this. You have to realize you need to limit your dating online. Very important. Don't only check the apps like once a day. Decide what's important if you want a partner to have it. Seek somebody with common goals. And don't seek validation through dating apps. Don't do that. You don't have to be validated. God will validate you through Christ Jesus. He already did. He loved you that much. If you're prone to depression, be aware of how online dating is affecting your mental state. Be very careful with the dating apps. And here's what I've seen with people who've done a lot of dating apps. They become jaded. You go, what do you mean jaded? They start to feel as though that there's not going to be somebody perfect out there for them. Well, I got a news flash for you. if you're a male or a female, there ain't nobody perfect except God alone. And what people do, Austin, and I've seen it, they'll find a relationship that's pretty decent, but it's not perfect. And so they keep their options open. They keep their dating options open. They keep their dating apps turned on, and they're constantly checking to see if somebody better shows up.
It happens a lot.
Well, the problem with that is, you know, it can't always be that way. Sooner or later, somebody's got to make a commitment to somebody, and you got to try to work on a relationship. And then you have the other people out there that are just lying, and they're looking for somebody to support them, or they're just so lonely they don't know what to do. So there's a lot of things affecting people's minds and dating apps. I'm going to post this article. In fact, it's already posted on the front page of Health Master's news site today because I want you guys to read through it. Just be very, very aware of it and realize that if you're in a relationship, if you're in a marriage, if you're in a serious, committed relationship, you need to get off the apps and not keep looking. Just thought I'd mention that to you. Very, very, very important. What do you think, son?
Yeah, you know, you're spot on with that. With anything with social media, it has a very high propensity to cause social anxiety, to cause issues with...
It goes back to the slot machines.
It does, because it becomes so addictive where everybody just wants to swipe, click, like this, comment that. And it happens not just with dating. It comes with all these social media platforms. They're designed to keep you addicted because the longer they keep you on it, the more clicks you have, the more likes you have, the more marketing they can put to you, the more ads they can expose you to. And so they want you. They have a financial interest in making sure you stay on these sites as long as possible. So be very cautious with them because, quite frankly, Instagram's not a real place. Twitter's not a real world.
Neither is Facebook.
None of these places are real. Neither is Facebook. These are all online. And she made a comment. I'm gonna clarify this because she's spot on. She said she's getting on a dating app, and everybody's asking her for basically racy nude photos. She's right in saying if you met somebody at a coffee shop or a park, they're not going to come at you right out the gate. Oh, nice to meet you. You got any nude photos you can show me real quick? Nobody's going to say that. That's grossly inappropriate. But yet we've had the internet now build this wall of basically tolerance, but also this wall of, how should I say, confidence that isn't real, where people want to say stuff, threaten stuff, use things, ask for things that are completely out of pocket. And it's a strange world because it wasn't like this 25 years ago.
You told me yesterday about how Call of Duty, way back when, if you listen to the headphones, it was this filthy language.
Oh, gosh. The old Call of Duty chat rooms, if anybody remembers those from the 2000s, they were absolutely atrocious. What everybody said to everybody, how hateful everybody was. And what's interesting is then they start restricting a lot of that, banning accounts for excessive profanity and threats and all that. And you know, I've experienced it before back in the day when I was working with a lot of my marketing stuff and everything with trucks, where you'd have people that wanted to talk crap in comments, and you saw them in person, and suddenly they want to be your best friend and all nice and all happy. Oh but I was just kidding. I mean, bro, I was born in the 80s. You start making comments to me about you want to get in a fight or you want to start something when you see me, I take it as a real gesture of engagement. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Whenever I see you.
Remember the guy was like 5 feet tall.
Oh, yeah. That's happened. This guy's like talking all this smack. And you don't know what he looked like on Instagram because he had all these vehicles he was dealing. Then he shows up somewhere. Somebody's like, oh, yeah, so-and-so. He's like 5'2", 5'3". And I'm looking at him, and I walk over to him, I start talking to him, and, oh, man, I was just kidding. And I'm like, dude, why are you even talking like that? You're like 5'3". And again, that internet gives people the confidence they wouldn't normally have in things they wouldn't do and exhibit in person.
Well, that's what causes the road rage.
Exactly
people,
right.
People got a 5,000-pound car that they can hit somebody with. I got a 5,000-pound car. Yep. And suddenly they start doing crazy things that they would never do before if they were walking through a parking lot.
Right.
And then
what you do is, too, you have these things where people want to turn into copycats. And this is what's happened a lot in California. Why do you think the mainstream media is covering every single piece of footage they can about burning cars, about looters, about rock throwing, about Molotov cocktails? They want to stoke what's going on in California right now. In an article here, now Newsom's getting national coverage. He said he's suing Trump over the National Guard to call the LA riots, essentially to stop them and calling them peaceful. It says here on ABC News, the reporter suggested that law enforcement should not attempt to stop the mass violence being carried out in LA because, I quote, it's just a bunch of people having fun watching a few cars burn. I quote that from ABC 7 News.
It's your car they're burning.
That's always real funny.
Yeah.
Until they're burning your car when you're in it. You know, there's a video popped up last night. This person was in a Jeep Wrangler. They got blocked in. You guys saw the video. They get out. This guy walks over. They pop the hood on it. He's got a 5-gallon gas can. He starts pouring it all over the engine. I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. Let's pour fuel on an exhaust manifold that's smoking on. Sure enough, Jeep exploded. Everything caught on fire. And I'm like, okay, so, but this is okay because you're protesting something. These aren't protests. These are designed to be civil unrest disruptors. And what they're doing is very, very specific and clear. They're trying to cause chaos. And the problem with it is these ICE agents, who I believe are doing a lot of good stuff with trying to get some of these individuals, this was done very, very poorly. Why in the world aren't you doing high-risk raids with individuals like MS-13 gang members and trend members that are taking over California or Colorado apartments? Why aren't we looking more in the national, the two Mexican nationals that got pulled over in the box van with almost a quarter of a million rounds of .308?
You know, we are the only podcast that reported on that.
Like, I zip, bro. There's nothing about that entire story anymore. It's gone.
But we talk. Nobody else talked about it.
Why isn't ICE doing investigations of that? Why do you have two guys driving through Boulder City, Colorado, with almost a quarter million rounds of ammunition, of 30 cal ammunition? There ain't target shooting. You ain't target shooting a quarter million rounds. You're using belted ammunition or fully auto to bullet burn through ammo that fast. That's it. And so you got to ask yourself the question. But ICE goes, we're going to go pick up some people at Lowe's on Saturday afternoon because they're illegal here trying to work. That's really their overall goal right now.
No, yeah, we said it earlier. I'm going to say it again. You know, the person behind the curtain is running the show.
Yep.
And the person behind the curtain knows that Jeffrey Epstein is a sex death cult to people that revolve with him.
And he's not dead.
And I don't believe he's dead at all. And, you know, and I think it was body double they pulled out of there. But the reality is they don't want this magnifying glass focusing on Epstein because there's too many people involved in the federal government and in the state governments that were involved with Epstein that are high-level officials still, and they have too much leverage against them, and they don't want them basically being kicked out of office and losing their leverage. It takes too much work to get a politician compromised. I think it was Wayne Allen Root was with us that one time when he was on the show with us years ago, and he said what they do, they'll take a person, basically, and they'll put them in a position of power in a political place, you know, senator, congressman, or whatever, and they tell them, we're going to give you lifetime benefits, we're going to give you all this money, we're going to do this, the people behind the curtain, the guys who took down Building 7. But every once in a while, we're going to have you vote a certain way for us.
Yep.
And if you don't do what we tell you to do, when we ask you to do that, then we're going to basically disgrace you. We're going to release a bunch of pictures we've got of you, maybe with Epstein, and basically we're going to destroy your life, destroy your marriage, destroy the legacy that you may or may not have had. So you have your choice here. You have curtain number one, curtain number two. Curtain number one is everything you ever wanted. Curtain number two is going to be hell. So 99% of these politicians who've compromised themselves with Epstein or whatever take curtain number one, and they go with the flow. You see this with podcasters. You see this with people that were podcasters. Now they're working in the Trump administration. Suddenly they're saying, oh, by the way, you know, this was this and this was this. You're going, that's not true. Why are you saying that? Happens all the time. By the way, this is a really good article on the beast system. You know, we're talking revelation now. It says the beast system will be a technological surveillance state, the whore of Babylon of the USA, riding atop the military-industrial complex, which gives rise to the beast systems of surveillance and control. They will destroy the USA, taking and making all merchants and nations who traded with her despair. The beast system will persist until it's overthrown by a higher being, which would be Christ. A destroyed U.S. dollar and a collapsing global economy will force everyone into the financial systems he controls. His company, Duriz, specializes in drone technology. Talk about Peter Thiel. He will use the idea of the scorpions in Revelation to deploy true swarms of drones with facial recognition. His interest in Gaza was not only as a testing lab, but to embolden Israel to rebuild a temple atop the mount. Trump's actions have been designed through Thiel's proxy, Stephen Miller and J.D. Vance. And it goes on to say in this article, will you accept the mark? Now, I don't know about all that, but I know the third temple is something that they really want to rebuild because they want to bring their Antichrist out onto the third temple steps and declare himself God. That's the goal here. That you got to understand that's been going on for over 200 years now. That's why so much of this has happened in the Middle East, in Israel. Yesterday I was in church, had a great sermon again by Pastor Reich talking about true north and following Christ again. And I remember I was at the front yesterday doing communion and praying for you guys, asking God to continue to bless you and keep you, and allow his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, grant you grace, mercy, peace, love, and prosperity. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. Pay your bills. Don't overextend yourself. Eat clean. It's not that difficult. People are saying, well, you're trying to put your values on us. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to give you values that work.
Advice.
Advice that works. Advice that will keep you out of the beast system, period.
This is something I wanted to ask. I like to bring certain things up because the memory hole in the United States. If you don't remember how crazy the Epstein file case is, the FedEx driver, alleged guy in a FedEx outfit, walks up to the judge's house, This is a judge, basically, that was Esther Salas, who was overseeing the Deutsche Bank case with Epstein and their involvement with money laundering and human trafficking with him. FedEx driver walks up to her house, shoots her son in the face, 20-year-old son, and shoots her husband when they answer the door. Then they find him 4 hours later in a car with a FedEx outfit next to him, whether who it was, some other attorney. It was the alleged gunman that was assassin. On Sunday afternoon, that was a hit straight up to give her a message. They didn't kill her. They killed her doggone son in her house on Sunday afternoon.
And her husband.
Yeah, so if you think this whole Epstein file case doesn't involve a whole lot of people and a whole lot of money and a whole lot of trafficking, which is the case
you
got to
remember, the Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan is a death cult. It's a sex death cult is what it is. So I've gone into detail on this stuff before on the show. I'm not going to do that today because we're almost out of time.
I didn't get any health articles today. I promise you guys I'll bring health articles tomorrow. There's so much stuff we covered over the weekend that's been happening.
Health article. Here's your health article.
HGH stimulate.
Helps keep your blood pressure great.
Pepper just great.
So what do you got here?
Fit food protein.
Oh, yeah. Magnesium brain food. You want to get rid of brain fog? You got it right there,
buddy. These two right here, that's the morning stack.
Oh, attention factor.
Oh, yes. Give me that.
No.
Give me that.
Oh, by the way, I've seen something that works kind of neat on this. If someone had put you on ADD medication for a long, long time.
Yes.
And you start on this one. In many cases, it actually helps to keep your brain going pretty good.
And it can also help you get off of it. If you've been taking those drugs and the advice of your doctor, you're getting off something like Adderall, the attention
factor. Under the advice of your doctor.
Can be a good replacement to keep your body going. Because remember, a lot of times, and this is just rough. So I've known people, especially in college, when people start getting on these Adderalls, these amphetamines for years on end, it can really cause issues with exacerbating ADHD symptoms when they're not on the drug.
That's right.
Because their brain gets so used to operating at a very high function. Because Adderall works the way it is for a reason. It's an amphetamine. The problem is it cooks the brain long term. Your body's not designed to take amphetamines every single day. So we're not designed to take them at all. But if somebody's using it every day, it can really start causing issues with focus and ADHD. The attention factor helps out a lot to kind of reduce those.
If you want to really help your brain increase lean muscle mass, use our creatine.
Well, there's no muscle in the brain.
Well, no, the brain helps the brain.
Brain function and increase muscle mass.
Of the skeletal muscle tissue.
That's not the brain.
Because this has been shown now to help increase fluid in the brain.
Increase fluid in the brain.
And we know that this is a dihydro...
No. That's the creatine monohydrate from Switzerland.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one that basically, and we have it in a controlled-release capsule.
And the dihydrous berberine, that's the one that helps to really stabilize insulin.
Berberine Ultimate.
Oh,
that's the one that really burns body fat.
Man, it drops fat like crazy when you take that.
So, you guys see anything?
Now you've had your health article.
It was no health article. That was just my 1 minute help subsidize the show.
And by the way, when you get your supplements and your toothpaste and everything else from Health Masters, it pays for the broadcast.
Yes.
You know?
And we appreciate all the emails. You know, we had a good customer come by the other day, Kevin.
Kevin,
haven't seen him in a while. He came down. Great guy. Drives his vet. He didn't bring it down this time, though. He's got a real nice vet. And the thing about it is I love it when people get to come by. We try to spend as much time as we can with everybody. Obviously, we have a lot going on, so we try to allocate our time. But we love talking to everybody. We appreciate the support. The amount of support you've given us guys over the years, it's allowed us to keep this show going. I really mean it because, quite frankly, without Health Masters and without support, I would still keep doing this show. It wouldn't be worth the time or effort or energy.
You can't monetize.
You got to make a difference, and I feel like we're starting to make a difference.
Well, the show's costing us almost $100,000 a year now.
Yeah. It's so
marketing. I'm telling you, so this thing is expensive to have. I'm just like, yeah, this is expensive.
Well, and all the airtime and all the bandwidth and everything. And so, again, guys, this is what we're pushing together for y'all to keep y'all healthy. If you need top-tier supplements, you know where to get a hold of us. We try to bring you guys the best supplements. Team Health Masters, you need anything, call us. Appreciate y'all.
Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. And I'm going to quote my German plaque again. Zwei Lebensstützen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. Two principles in life that can never be broken, prayer and work. Always remember that. Always put God first in all the things in your life, and always seek His will in everything that you do. And be very, very careful who you associate with, and pick people that you want to be with. Because remember, I heard an old preacher say it this way, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. People, stay away from bad people, guys. It's really important. Don't get dragged into a ditch with people that you know you shouldn't be with. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. And thank you for your support, and thank you for praying for us. We really just covet that you pray for us, and we love you guys so much. And by the way, ask DrTedD@yahoo.com. I have caught up with all my emails again.
Good.
Now, about 20 of them didn't go out, so I sent them out. So some of them may be from a year ago. If you get it suddenly in the mail, my bad. Love you guys.
See y'all.